The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Well, hello there. This is Fred Brack reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 10 years. Thank you, Carter Glass. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Now we return to the October 2020 edition of Our State magazine. Celebrating North Carolina, this theme this month has been the colors of autumn and our guide to amazing fall views. Well, here's someplace out in the mountain area. They must have quite the views out there. Paper Town Proud. Now, you native North Carolinians have any idea where that would be? Paper Town Proud? And a hat that says, smells like home? Very good to you if you got it. The rebirth of Canton has been different from that of other small mountain towns. While some have reinvented themselves as tourist destinations, Canton is focused on nurturing a close-knit community. Written by Mark Essig. And indeed, they have a picture here. Well, I actually have five pictures, and the caption reads, "The Old Imperial Hotel," which is the first one on the, underneath the title, "now houses Southern Porch Kitchen and Drink." And then on this page, we see Pigeon River Mercantile's popular trucker's cap. That's the one that is brown with a little some red on it. And then in yellow letters, it says Canton. And there's something sticking out of one side of the ends in each case, something white. Looks like a little bottle upside down. And then it says, smells like home underneath. And we'll get to that, I imagine, in the article. Then we have Liz Ryan and Russ Grimmett, owners of Paper Town Coffee. And they are standing in front of a large blackboard, which has the menu written on it. And he's a husky guy, and he has a huge beard, but not right in the center below his chin. That's almost empty down there. And then we have JRO's Juicy, Haywood County Raised Beef Burger, and a pickup basketball game at Reynolds Park. Close-up of that burger, and then somebody in the air trying desperately to intercept that ball that is headed toward the basket, but he's nowhere near close enough. And then over Leaf, just before we get started, this black-and-white photo, obviously taken many years ago based on the three cars we see in the picture, and the fact that it's black-and-white, and there's hats on the men, not caps, but hats. Canton takes pride in local students who excel. During the town's Labor Day parade of 1951, Reynolds School winners of a Best Citizens Essay contest got to ride in the rumble seat of Kelly Bug's 1930 Chrysler, which is all decked up with all kinds of frill around the edge and paper mache things or whatever strewn all over it. "We call it the Canton Comeback," Zeb Smathers says. The town's gregarious 37-year-old mayor practices law alongside his father, a former Canton mayor, in the Main Street building that once housed his grandfather's grocery store. Smathers Supermarket, like most shops in the Central Business District, shut down decades ago. The forces that killed downtowns everywhere, shopping malls, suburbanization hit Canton hard. By the 1990s, it was a ghost town, and it would remain that way for decades, long after its neighbors Waynesville and Brevard had reinvented themselves as tourist destinations. Within the past few years, though, Canton has started to change, thanks to an ensemble cast of public-spirited citizens, forward-looking town leaders, and ambitious business owners. In downtown Canton, you can now start your day with a latte and a locally baked pastry, lunch on a burger made with Haywood County beef, and spend your evening at a craft brewery on the banks of the Pigeon River. These are amenities that attract out-of-town visitors, but locals insist that Canton is not and never will be a tourist town. The typical mountaineer attitude is, you are welcome to come, but don't try to change our way of life, says Canton native Edie Hutchins Burnett. It's a noble sentiment that has the ring of famous last words, given that growth in mountain towns is a habit of careening out of control. But Canton seems to be redeveloping in its own way. The reason for that, and the reason for much of what happens here, has everything to do with the enormous paper mill that's situated right in the center of town. Peter Thompson founded the Champion Coated Paper Company in Hamilton, Ohio, by 1893. By that time, trees had grown scarce in much of the United States, so Thompson went looking for virgin timber. He found it in western North Carolina, where he bought tens of thousands of acres of forest land and built a pulp mill. Champion offered good pay, and local mountain people wanted the work. Haywood County residents descended to the mill and applied for jobs, working the land, hunting, fishing, and gathering wild greens in their spare time. The mill workers built good lives in Canton, judged by the jumble of records and artifacts on display at the Canton Area Historical Museum. Copies of Champion's in-house magazine, punningly titled The Log, a 1960s Miss Georgia brand paper ice cream carton produced at the mill, publicity photos of a local novelty act called the Country Charmers, and a sign that reads Wrought Iron Bridge Company, Builders, Canton, Ohio, which once adorned the town's truss bridge. The sign is central to local lore. Not long after the bridge was built around 1890, it inspired local leaders to change the town's name from Pigeon River to Canton. One morning each week, a group of locals, a sort of unofficial Friends of the Museum organization, convenes at a card table amid the artifacts to discuss Canton's history and advocate for its future. Mostly retirees, a physics professor, a teacher, a civil engineer, and several town or rather mill workers, they speak with reverence about Peter Thompson's son-in-law, Reuben B. Robertson, who ran Champion from 1907 through the 1950s on a paternalistic model. The mill offered scheduled raises, paid vacations, a credit union, retirement programs, and generous support for schools and the YMCA. The 1960s opened a new era in Canton, with layoffs at the mill followed by a successful unionization drive. By the 1990s, structural changes in the global paper industry led to the first of several rounds of corporate reshuffling that have resulted today in control of the mill by Evergreen Packaging, which is owned by the billionaire Graeme Hart, the richest person in New Zealand. According to the company, the mill now employs more than 1,000 people who earn salaries and benefits worth more than $100 million annually. The locals sitting around the card table are grateful for the mill and the jobs it provides, but they also miss the civic spirit of earlier owners who dedicated themselves to building up both the company and the town. Caroline Ponton, the museum's curator, produces black and white photos showing the handsome company-funded YMCA building, bustling sidewalks, huge crowds at the Labor Day parade, and gleaming tail-finned cars lining the street. In the 40s and 50s, Hutchins Burnett says, Canton was a very busy place. It had any kind of store you needed. She grew up as the daughter of the school superintendent and became a writer and teacher at Pisgah High School. It was bigger and more prosperous than Waynesville. Her boast hints at a friendly rivalry that Canton, from outside appearances, has lost. Its downtown is only now starting to revive, while Waynesville's main street has been thriving for years. But the distinction is somewhat deceiving. One vital source of prosperity that Canton never lost is the paper mill. As western North Carolina's textile plants and furniture factories shuttered, Canton's paper mill kept operational, giving the town a tax base that was the envy of other communities. There was just one problem. When mill workers finished their shifts, they drove away from Canton to spend their paychecks in Waynesville or Asheville. Recently, though civil pride has returned to Canton, people have started to buy local again. I give a lot of credit to Balsam Range, Mayor Smathers says. He's referring to the big-time bluegrass band with roots in Haywood County. In 2012, the band released Paper Town, a chart-topping album whose title track was a sentimental celebration of Canton. Paper Town was our eureka moment, Smathers says. We're a paper town. We're a blue-collar town. If you're gonna be damned for who you really are. The song may have inspired hometown pride, but Canton's revival owes far more to the locals who have labored to bring change to the town. In June, Canton announced that it would partner with the Southern Appalachian Highlands Conservancy to create a 448-acre outdoor recreation park just east of downtown. With initial plans calling for hiking, mountain biking, and other uses compatible with preserving the wooded property as an important wildlife corridor. 3 years ago, R&B singer Gladys Knight and her husband, Canton native Billy McDowell, launched an ambitious effort to create a community center in the building that once housed the segregation-era all-black Reynolds School. Canton Labor Day Festival, the oldest celebration of labor in the South, has been updated with big-name acts. Downtown has been beautified, and its traffic has been calmed by curb bump-outs and newly planted trees. The town also offers generous economic development grants to help downtown building owners pay for renovations. And Canton leaders have relaxed liquor laws, always a fraud issue in the small town South. One faction worried that the sight of people drinking alcohol on a restaurant patio might corrupt the town's youth. The retirees who gather at the museum, all very much in favor of recent changes, laugh as they recall such disputes. By the time the brewery got here, says Phil Paxton, a Canton native, the people who were against alcohol had pretty much screamed and hollered themselves out. That brewery is Bear Waters Brewing, which has moved Canton from Waynesville in 2017, opening a tap room on the banks of the Pigeon River, and they've enjoyed booming business ever since. Other new additions to Canton's food and beverage scene have done well, too. JRO's, a popular sandwich shop, also started in Waynesville, but decamped for Canton in 2017. And the married couple behind Paper Towns Coffee moved to Canton from the foothills in 2019, offering locals a better way to start the day. JRO's occupies two rooms right on Main Street. Its walls paneled in reclaimed wood and adorned with antique tools and gas station signs. From the start, the space seemed a bit small. The first day we opened, it was packed to the walls, says Robert Cuherte, who, with Randy O'Quinn, owns and operates the restaurant. Every single day for the first month, the first 2 months, people were lined up and down the sidewalk. The locals loved the food, especially the burgers made with beef from Canton's Leatherwood family farms, and they were grateful to find the restaurant right on Main Street. O'Quinn's and Cuherty had discovered a pent-up demand. Locals wanted to spend money in town. Finally, they could. Other business owners had the same revelation. Russ Grimmett and Liz Ryan lived in Morganton before buying a Main Street building in Canton and opening Paper Town Coffee last year. They live in an apartment upstairs and welcomed customers into the shop as if it were an extension of their home. A local wood shop crafted the stools along the bar, which is faced with tin ceiling tiles salvaged from the building's renovation. We were told you gotta have a dollar cup of coffee because that's what people will want, Grimmett says. The couple found instead that mill workers like good coffee and can afford it, thanks to union wages. Some stop by before a shift to fill up their thermoses. The paper mill, of course, is the one key factor that stands in the way of Canton becoming a tourist town. Making paper has always been a dirty business. For nearly a century, the mill's discharge pipe spewed black liquid that fouled the Pigeon River all the way into Tennessee, and the smokestacks released a sulfurous smell. In the 1990s, or rather 1980s, when I was a kid, Mayor Smathers says, the river was black and there was foam. The odor was constant. Since then, lawsuits and regulations have forced the mill to clean up its act. The river has come back to life, and the odor has diminished, though not disappeared, with some days better than others. When Tammy Milner Henry retired from nursing and decided to start a market, her friend, she says, strongly encouraged me not to open in Canton because my items would smell. She ignored the advice, and wisely so. Maddie's on Main, named after her grandmother, has been successful from the start, and Milner Henry is now the heart of New Canton. Other business owners say she's the spark that ignited the town's revival. When she hears such praise, she weeps tears of joy. Asked if she had relatives who worked at the mill, Milner Henry ticks off a list. My dad, my granddad, my stepdad after my dad died, my uncles, my aunt. Mill wages purchased homes and fed families for generations. It's the living of a lot of people around here, and we're thankful for it. Milner Henry says, when people gripe about the smell, she says, I don't have a clever response. Other businesses have embraced the clever response. Bearwaters brews a Belgian-style ale called Smells Like Money. Pigeon River Mercantile, a Main Street shop that sells clothing, gifts, and fine crafts, created a trucker cap with a smokestack design that reads, Canton Smells Like Home. The cap was designed by Haley Thompson, who helps curate the shop with her mother, owner Lisa Conard. For Conard, the cap speaks for the literal truth. Raised in Asheville, she makes frequent trips to visit her grandparents near Canton. On the drive, she says, I would smell the smell and I would be beside myself bouncing off the walls in the back of our Volkswagen because I knew I was close to my granny and Papa's house. Liz Ryan and Russ Grimmett remember a visit they made to town before they bought the building that would become Papertown Coffee. That particular day, the smell was pretty heavy, Ryan says, but we drove to Bearwaters, and they had all the doors open, and it was packed, indoors and outdoors, she says. Despite the smell, locals were going about their lives, drinking beer and eating burgers in the shadow of the mill. We thought, we'll be fine, she says. It takes a certain kind of person to be okay with it. And those are the kind of people who belong in Canton. The town welcomes tourists, but thanks to the paper mill payroll, it doesn't need tourists. And that's precisely what makes Canton such a nice place to visit. You are listening to Our State Magazine on the North Carolina Reading Service. If you have any comments or questions, call the studios, please, 919-832-5133. Well, we talked about one North Carolina town. Why not talk about another one? Burnsville. Artists, chefs, and makers find inspiration in the beautiful Black Mountains that surround this charming Yancey County town. Written by Jody Helmer. Dennis Metelsky still remembers the first time a retired couple from Vermont came into Something Special gift shop. As co-owner with his wife, Tina, and an unofficial tourism representative, Dennis offered them suggestions for things to see and do in Burnsville. Among his favorites, hiking at Mount Mitchell, the Toe River Arts Gallery, and the Yancey Theater, a 1939 single-screen movie house downtown that still shows first-run films. His passion for Burnsville was so contagious that the Vermont couple fell in love with Main Street and Burnsville and ended up moving here, Dennis says. They still come into the store every time they come downtown, and they bring their visitors here, too. And here's some of the things in the town. You can shop at Something Special Gift Shop, a Main Street staple for 35 years. The Metelsky's shop stocks items ranging from local pottery, candles, and wind chimes to apparel. The Metelskys also own the adjacent Monkey Business Toy Shop, where families can find art and science kits alongside traditional toys like Slinkies, I know them, and Etch-a-Sketches. We've had at least three generations of customers shopping with us, Dennis says. Magnolia and Wren Boutique. Samantha Robertson opened her quintessential Southern boutique on Main Street in 2018. In addition to offering casual clothing, jewelry, candles, bath products, and antiques, the boutique sells prairie skirts and petticoats made by Robinson's mother, Zoe McMahon, under the Magnolia and Wren label. Hammond Antique sits filled to the rafters with great vintage, hard-to-find items, Dennis says. Proprietor Ralph Hammond can tell the stories behind all of the pieces he stocked. How about drink? Appalachian Java. Dennis is a regular at this coffee shop, ordering a cup of joe or lunch and catching up with his downtown neighbors. It's as much a community center as a coffee shop, he says. The cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner alongside fresh baked sweet treats. Eat at Pig and Grits. Chef Lee Howell knows his stuff when it comes to Southern comfort food, Dennis says. Hearty breakfasts like the Eggs Benedict Americana and the buttermilk chicken and waffles are as popular as Southern fried catfish, molten mac and cheese, and other savory suppers. Garden Deli and Snapdragon. The tuna melt, BLT, and chicken salad sandwiches attract big crowds at Garden Deli. Plus, it has a wonderful patio for outdoor dining, Dennis says. Next door, Snapdragon, owned by the same family, is a kitchen and bar with a nautical theme. Hurricane cocktails, ranked from Category 1 to 5, are the house specialty. You can eat at Mountain Chef Bistro. This fine dining restaurant on Main Street serves up fresh seafood, meat, and pasta dishes. And the wine list was designed for pairing. Dennis calls it exquisitely prepared food, adding it's a destination restaurant. Play at Parkway Playhouse, one of the oldest seasonal theaters in the state. This nonprofit brings big productions to the small stage. It doesn't just bring the theater to our community, Dennis says. It also provides opportunities for the locals to get on stage. The season typically runs from May through October. Stay at the New Ray Inn. This 13-room inn has welcomed famous guests, including Thomas Wolfe and Elvis. It adds to the charm and maintains a connection to the history of our town, Dennis says. Sit on one of the rocking chairs on the wide front porch and look out over the town square. And finally, drink. Home Place Beer Company. Head brewer Alex Smith uses ingredients from Yancey County and the surrounding area to create farm-to-pint beers like Golden Heart American Lager, made with North Carolina corn grits, and Brown Mule English Brown Ale, made with local honey. And there's a photo here at the bottom of Mountain Peaks in the distance over some treetops in the foreground. Everything is green, green, green. A peak to be proud of, rising high above Burnsville, is the 66,084-foot-tall Mount Mitchell, the highest peak east of the Mississippi River. In 1915, this mountain became the first state park in North Carolina, thanks to community efforts to save the land from logging. Today, an observation deck at the top of Mount Mitchell offers a 360-degree view of the Black Mountains, including 6 of the 10 highest peaks in the eastern United States, and is surrounded by a spruce fir forest straight out of a fairy tale. Well, we have a few minutes left. Let's see what we can do here. A little talk in Raleigh. An heirloom to share. Heirloom Brew Shop's menu is a marriage of its owners, Taiwanese and Laotian customs, cultures, built on a foundation laid by past generations, written by Chloe Klingsted. For hours before it lands on a plate, wedged inside a biscuit baked with fresh scallions, the pork belly roasts low and slow, infused with traditional char siu flavors, spices used usually in Asian barbecue, until it reaches tender melt-in-your-mouth perfection. Heirloom Brew Shop's owners, Chuan Tsai and Anna Pamavong, added the entree to the menu earlier this year, a few months into a global pandemic. A risky move for a restaurateur? Maybe. But the pork belly biscuits sold out every day during its first week on the menu. The biscuit, like every dish at Heirloom, is a product of thoughtful craftsmanship. Like a woodworker carving a block of oak into a sculpture, Tsai and Pamavong carefully shape their menu into a tasteful reflection of who they are. As chefs, we look at every single ingredient that goes into the dish, Say says. Every ingredient has to have a reason. Every single dish has to have a reason and a story behind it. That's because Heirloom is more than just a restaurant. More than meticulously crafted food and carefully curated beverages, like an orchid oolong from the hills of Nantou, Taiwan, and matcha tea grown on farms in Nishio, Japan. More than a beautiful airy space, outfitted with floor-to-ceiling windows and accents of pink pale. For Tse and Pom Vong, every detail is an homage to their parents. Tse's parents, immigrants from Taiwan, owned and operated restaurants around the southeast, but mostly in the Ashburn area. As a boy, Tse watched as they dealt with race-based hostility. I think my parents have some sort of PTSD from the violence and aggression and having to balance that with taking care of kids, he says. Pom Vong's memories of growing up around her parents' restaurant in High Point aren't as visceral. Her family lived near a small but supportive community of Laotian immigrants, yet her parents didn't serve dishes from their own culture. Instead, they served Chinese food as it was more familiar to Americans during the 80s and 90s. So when Tse and Pom Vong approached their families with the dream of opening Heirloom, their parents dissuaded them, afraid they'd faced discrimination. But the couple moved forward, ready to welcome the Raleigh community, and much to their delight, Raleigh welcomed them back. The restaurant was selected by Bon Appetit as one of 50 nominees for America's Best New Restaurants in 2019. When Tse called his mom to give her the news, she couldn't stop crying, he says. The award validated Tse and Pom Vong's hard work and confirmed that a restaurant serving Taiwanese and Laotian dishes from an American perspective can be accepted and celebrated. Tse's father didn't get to see the Heirloom come to life. He died 2 months before the restaurant opened in October 2018. But every once in a while, when Tse passes a picture of him, he says, "Hey, I wish you could see that your struggle back then has made this possible." The Heirloom Brew Shop is at 219 Southwest Street in Raleigh. HeirloomBrewShop.com. We aren't going to have time for the next article, which would have been Shelter for Shelter Dogs in Brevard. Just a couple of advertisements to fill out this remaining 45 seconds or so. The University of North Carolina School of the Arts, dance, design and production, drama, filmmaking, music, powering creativity. Together we are resilient. Together we can create a world worth sharing. uncsa.edu/together. And the Town Bank, serving others and enriching lives. They are located at townbank.com in Charlotte, Triad, Triangle, Greenville, and on the Outer Banks. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this magazine is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, call the studios 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.